It has long been my ambition to present a junior Hobby Lobby, for we have found that the children of the United States have just as many different and unusual hobbies as the grown-ups. To give you a rough idea how a junior Hobby Lobby would sound, we have taken at random a number of the unusual youngsters who have appeared on the show in the past. We have taken these spots from off-the-air recordings of Hobby Lobby. Therefore, we ask you to overlook surface noise, difference in quality, changes in music, and occasional references to some wonderful sponsors. And now, here is Junior Hobby Lobby.
Hello. Who? Hobby Lobby? It's for you, ladies and gentlemen. It's for you. Yes, Hobby Lobby, brought to you by Fire King Oven Glass. Anchor glass containers, Anchor caps and closures. All products of Anchor Hawking, a great name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin speaking for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees. Anchor Hawking, the world's largest maker of household glass, invites you to Hobby Lobby, where hobbyists from all over the nation come to lobby for their hobbies. Now, be sure to stay tuned for a special announcement at the end of this program. And now, your master of ceremonies, the man who originated Hobby Lobby, Dave Ellman.
Thank you, Tony Marvin, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Hobby Lobby. We are honored tonight to have as the first guest of Palmolive Brush the Shave Cream one of America's most talented musicians and orchestra conductors. Only a year ago, he mounted the podium as guest conductor of a 165-piece band. And now I want you to meet him, Mr. Larry Lee Skinner of Dawson, Oklahoma. Mr. Skinner, you're a very young man to have such a remarkable musical background. Will you bow to our orchestra, to our audience first? That's it. And now will you tell us, how old are you?
4 years old.
4 years old. Well, Larry, what instrument do you play?
Cornet.
Cornet, huh? Well, how long have you been playing the cornet?
Since I was little.
How long is that? 50 years, and you're 4 years old. Well, that's about right. Larry, I think you're about the cutest little fellow we've ever had on Hobby Lobby. And I want to tell our audience that this little boy did his cheating on his daddy's trumpet mouthpiece. Later, his daddy showed him how to pucker up his mouth so that he could blow the cornet. Well, Larry, will you show us how you pucker up your mouth? Loud, so we can hear you. That's the way. Larry, do you like to play the cornet?
Yes.
Well, Larry, playing the cornet should have given you powerful lungs. Will you face our audience and let's see you expand your chest? Well, your chest seems to have slipped a little like mine. Larry, suppose you pick up your cornet now and let us hear you play as a solo with no one else helping you. You Are My Sunshine. Playing the trumpet is 4 years old. Now, just 6 weeks ago, a young man appeared on Hobby Lobby and confused us all by talking backwards. However, there's a little girl, a very little girl here in New York, who wasn't confused a bit by it. In fact, it gave her an idea for a hobby.
Her name is Janet Wagling, and she's from Brooklyn. Janet, tell us, how old are you?
6 years old.
6 years old? Well, do you go to school?
Yes.
What grade are you in?
20.
You like school?
Yes.
Very much?
Yes.
Well, Janet, for a little 6-year-old girl, you have a rather remarkable hobby. Tell us what that is, won't you?
Don't work backwards and forwards.
Say that again?
Spelling words backwards and forwards.
Well, not many little 6-year-old girls can spell them forwards or backwards. Can you spell them either way?
Yes.
And, Janet, before we start our backward spelling bee, I'd like to tell our audience that during this interview, Janet hasn't had a script and that her spelling of these words will be done from memory, and she hasn't the slightest idea of what words I'm going to ask her, although she only knows 30 really big words, and those words are bigger than she is. Janet, are you ready for the test?
Yes.
All right. Can you spell transubstantiation?
T-R-A-N-S-U-B-S-T-A-N-T-R-A-T-I-O-N.
That's correct. Now, can you spell it backwards?
N-O-I-T-A-I-T-N-A-T-S-B-U-S-N-A-R-T.
That's correct. Janet, here's a hard one. Conscientious.
C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-T-I-O-U-S.
Can you spell that backwards, too?
S-U-I.
That's right. No, S-U-O-I.
O-I-T-N-E-I-C-S-N-O-C.
Correct. Janet, we'll give you another test now. Can you say your alphabet backwards? Say the alphabet backwards.
V-Y-X-W-V-U-T-S-R-Q-P-O-N-M-L-K-J-I-H-E-S-B-D-C-B-A.
Thank you, Janet, for Lobby, for a hobby inspired by Hobby Lobby. Spelling words forwards and backwards, and you did a grand little job.
Well, our next guest that sells naphtha soap chips is Henry Ames, who comes from Princess Anne, Maryland. Mr. Ames, what is your occupation?
Hoeing.
You hoe for a living?
Well, later on I'll plow. But my father thinks I'm a little light for plowing just yet.
Well, you aren't very big, Henry. How old are you?
14.
And what do you do when you're not helping your father on the farm?
I'm always adding to my collection of unusual bets that people have made and paid for.
Well, how do you hear about these strange bets, Henry?
I'm always searching for them in books, magazines, and newspapers.
Well, suppose you tell us how that works.
Well, here's a bet I just heard about. A naval cadet in Sweden bet another cadet $5 that he could jump from one tree to another 20 feet away. He didn't make it.
And lost the bet.
Yeah, and broke his leg.
Now I see what you mean. Well, how about another unusual bet?
A prisoner bet a sheriff he could get out of jail without using any of the windows or doors.
Well, I don't see how the sheriff could lose.
Well, he did. The prisoner burned down the jail.
People will do almost anything to win a bet, won't they?
Yes, Mr. Elman, anything. In England, in 1812, a gambler lost his clothes and then his money to another. So he bet his life against everything he had already lost.
And what happened?
He lost, and his friend hung him.
Nice people. Let's have another bet from your collection, Henry.
Well, out in Denver a few years ago, there was a big poker game. Finally, one player ran out of money, but wanted to play the hand he had just been dealt. So, carefully guarded by the other players, he went to one of the banks and showed the cashier his hand and asked to borrow $4,000 on it.
You mean he wanted to put up a poker hand as collateral for $4,000?
Yes, and he got the money when the president of the bank saw the hand.
Thank you, Henry Ames.
From Norfolk, Nebraska, comes the next guest of Palmolive Shave Cream, a very cute little girl. She's blonde, she's chubby, and she's very likable. Her name is Dwayla Graves. Dwayla is spelled D-W-A-L-A, Dwayla. And her hobby is playing the piano in a very unusual way. Dwayla, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
10? Well, when did you first start playing the piano?
When I was 7. My mother showed me the notes on the piano, and I started to play all by myself.
Well, haven't you ever had a piano teacher?
Oh, yes. I've had about 10 lessons from a teacher.
Well, Dwayla, whatever started you on your hobby?
Well, last year they had an amateur contest at the Victory Theater in Sioux City, and I told my daddy I'd like to try.
What did your daddy say?
He said I could never win it just by playing the piano. I must do do something different.
So you gave up the idea?
No, sir. I tried something different. I played the piano with my mittens on.
And what did your daddy say to that?
He said that wasn't enough.
Wasn't enough? Well, what did you do?
I tied a handkerchief around my eyes so I couldn't see the keys, and then played the piano with my mittens on.
And what did he say then?
He said that wasn't enough.
Well, what else did he want you to do to be different?
He wanted me to tap dance at the same time.
Your daddy sure likes to do things the hard way. Well, Duela, were you able to tap dance while playing the piano, blindfolded, with mittens on?
Yes, sir, and I won first prize.
Which proves that Daddy was right. And now, Duela, we want you to demonstrate your hobby for our listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, Duela is being blindfolded and she's being led over to the piano. She can't see the keys of the piano, and she's wearing very, very heavy woolen mittens. All right, I think she's ready now, and this little 10-year-old girl is going to play Elmer's tune while blindfolded and wearing heavy woolen mittens. Demonstrate the complete hobby. While blindfolded and wearing heavy woolen mittens, she will play Give Me One Dozen Roses on the piano, and she'll do a tap dance at the same time. And to make it just a little more difficult, she will also sing. Go ahead, Twayla. Fourth, we presented the youngest hobbyist ever to appear on Hobby Lobby, Gerard Jennings, the 2.5-year-old wonder child. The amazing things this little boy did brought numerous requests from educators and laymen that he be brought back to Hobby Lobby. So Anchor Hocking invited Gerard and his mother, Mrs. Frances Jennings, to come down from Bridgeport, Connecticut, not to repeat what was done before, but to give a further demonstration of this child's remarkable achievement. Mrs. Jennings, since Gerard is accustomed to your voice more than mine, I'll ask you to act as quizmaster. Now, what subjects would you like to use to quiz the child?
We could try arithmetic, spelling, history, and geography.
That's a lot to ask of a child who's only 30 months old. Are you sure he can do it?
I'll let you judge for yourself, Mr. Elman.
Well, go right ahead, Mrs. Jennings.
Gerard, how much is 5 and 5?
10.
How much is 8 and 8?
15.
How much is 6 and 6?
12.
How much is 9 and 9?
18.
How much is 7 and 7?
14.
How much is 10 and 10?
20.
How much is 11 and 11?
22.
How much is 12 and 12?
12 and 12 are 24.
12 and 12 are 24. Now, how much is 6 and 9?
15.
If Minnie the Cat has 6 kittens and we lost 4 of them, how many kittens would she have left? And if you had 5 red marbles, 3 green marbles, 4 yellow marbles, and 1 blue marble, how many marbles would you have altogether?
13 marbles.
13 marbles. And if I left at 7 in the morning and arrived at 4 in the afternoon, if I left at 7 in the morning and arrived at 4 in the afternoon, how many hours would it have taken me to reach my destination?
3
hours. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, these answers you're hearing come from a child only 30 months old. And now, Mrs. Jennings, suppose we try some history now.
Gerard, who was the Greek leader in the Battle of the Marathon?
Miltiades.
Miltiades. Who was the English leader that led the British fleet against the Spanish Armada?
Sir Francis Drake.
Sir Francis Drake. And who was the Spanish king at that time?
King Carlos II.
King Philip II.
What... King Carlos II.
What date was the Battle of Waterloo?
1815.
Just imagine a child, 30 months old, knowing all that history. Well, Mrs. Jenkins...
I'm
Mrs. Jennings, let's test Gerard's knowledge of geography now.
Gerard, what is the capital of Honduras?
Tegucigalpa.
Spell Tegucigalpa.
T-E-G-U-C-I-G-A-L-P-A,
Tegucigalpa. Now, what is the capital of Sweden?
Stockholm.
Of Iran?
Tehran.
Of India? Of India?
Delhi.
Of Argentina?
Buenos
Aires. Of Chile?
San Diego.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we let the people in our audience test Gerard. This is the first time this has ever been done. Now, Tony Marvin is down in our audience with a hand mic. Now, Tony, will you select someone to call out the name of some country, any country in the whole world, or any state in the United States? He'll give the capital.
All right, Dave. Anybody down this section of the audience want to try? Here's a young man over here, Dave.
Virginia.
What's the
capital of Virginia?
Richmond.
All right. Someone else, quick.
India.
Delhi. Thank you. Anybody else here now? On this side? Anybody back here? There's a lady back here. Hoping you didn't have our microphone.
Chile.
Chile.
San
Diego.
San Diego.
San Diego. Correct? Anybody else here now? I hope I can get in there.
France.
Paris.
Paris. Anybody else over here? Oh, yeah, someone right here.
Holland. Holland. The capital of Holland. Stay clear. Holland. What's the capital of Holland?
Mrs. Jennings, when I spoke to you over the phone, you told me that Gerard plays the piano with both hands in perfect harmony and that he sings too. Now, there he is over at the piano right now. And we'd like very much to hear this 2.5-year-old child play and sing at the same time. What's the name of the song he's going to sing, please?
An Irish lullaby, Tura Lura.
Well, now, I must ask our audience to maintain complete silence while little Gerard plays. Remember, he never played in public before. I've wanted to have the hobby story which follows on the air. Each time I would ask the hobbyist to come to Hobby Lobby, he'd say, "I'm not ready yet, Mr. Ellman." Even now that he's consented to speak, he's asked that I withhold his name and address. And you'll understand why when you hear the story. To begin with, will you tell us how old you are?
I'm 16 years old, sir, and I'm a senior in high school.
That's doing mighty, mighty good for a fellow of 16. Tell us, what's your hobby?
Collecting tinfoil.
How long have you been collecting tinfoil?
About 5 years.
Well, you must have collected a lot of it in that time.
No, enough so that I'm about through with the hobby.
Through with the hobby? Why is that?
Well, you see, Mr. Ellman, when I was about 11 years old, I started collecting tinfoil for a very special reason.
What was that special reason?
I wanted to earn enough money so that someday I could buy a seeing-eye dog. You see, Mr. Ellman, I am blind.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, is true courage. And one of the finest hobby stories I have ever heard from one who walks
in darkness. New York City, a dramatic teacher. Mr. Manciotti, first tell us something about your work.
Well, about a year ago, Mr. Elman, I found myself working every day in the week, and I decided that I was going to have one day of the week for my very own.
What did you do?
I invited some of my pupils to come in on Tuesdays, and we'd sit there and play the phonograph. Well, one night I played an opera record for the children, and when it ended, a little 10-year-old boy stood up and sang one of the most difficult arias from the opera.
Well, had he been trained for it?
No, he'd never had any musical training at all. But he sang it with such feeling and freedom that it gave me the idea for my hobby. Why not organize a children's grand opera company? And tonight you can see how I developed that hobby, Mr. Elman.
Yes, Miss Manciotti, right here in the studio, we have 35 members of your miniature grand opera company. And some of them don't seem any bigger than a good-sized quarter note. They range in age from 4 to 12. Is the 10-year-old that started your hobby still in your opera company?
Yes, he's one of our soloists, and I'd like you to meet him. Will you come over here, Michael?
Michael, what do you think of grand opera?
I've never seen grand opera than he.
There you have it, Mr. Elman. And now suppose we let you hear what grand opera sounds like when sung by little children.
All right, Miss Manciotti. First, we're going to hear John Pardee, the 10-year-old baritone, singing a miniature version of the prologue from Pagliacci. Because 3'4" of miniature matinee idol, the miniature Caruso just 10 years old, is at the microphone ready to sing Vesta la Cuba from Pagliacci. This is Michael Zizzo. Donnas of the opera company have smoothed their rumpled dresses, and the basso profundos with heaving chests are getting ready to sing the famous church scene from Cavaliera Rusticana. 35 voices, 4 to 12. Thank you, Ernestina Minciotti, and your miniature grand opera company.
And there you have it, gentlemen, a junior edition of Hobby Lobby. There were only 6 or 7 junior possibilities, but there are hundreds of thousands of children just like these all over the country. We would bring the children to New York, no matter what part of this United States they live in. The merchandising possibilities and publicity angles have not even been mentioned, but it's easy to see how a junior Hobby Lobby would lend itself to such handling. What do you think of it? A junior Hobby Lobby.